Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, who normally joins us on Tuesdays. Pretty busy week for Tim over at the Super Bowl in Las Vegas. So he will join us today, and he will join us in 1 hour. We'll get Tim's thoughts on some draft talk that we were talking yesterday. We'll get Tim's thoughts and evaluation on what the Titans can do in the draft. We'll get his Super Bowl thoughts as well. Elliot Friedman, 32 Thoughts Podcast and Sportsnet, will join us for his regular visit at 1 p.m. D. Mace is back today. Willie D. is here as well. How are we doing today?
Doing pretty good. Nice and sunny. Y'all know I like the sun. So when the sun's out, I'm happy. Even when it's not out, I'm still happy. But I'm happier.
Happier.
When the sun's out. So, so it was wonderful. Glad to be back after a day off. Well, day off, but not a day off. But you know how it is. But I'm glad to be back.
Glad to have you back, D-Mace. We missed you.
In the seat.
That's spring sports outside. Today's an outside day.
Baseball day. First day of baseball for the youngins?
Well, I don't know what the high school schedule is. I guess high school teams, if you're done with your winter sport or whatever, you could get out there. I'm thinking college teams, too. They're probably hot and heavy. But you look at that weather forecast every day this time of year and say, can we be outside today? Today is like, hey, man, let's play a doubleheader. Let's get the scrimmage going. This is beautiful weather.
I talked to Jim Schlossnagel this morning. He's Texas A&M's baseball coach. And he was talking about how the first month of the baseball season is like a winter sport. I'm like, Jim, you coach in Texas.
Exactly.
How cold can it really be, man? Like, it's like 60 degrees there today.
It's funny that we played Michigan State. D-Mace, when I was a senior, and they beat us, unfortunately. That was not one of my better. I was the starting pitcher, and it didn't go well. Yeah. But, like, for them, they were coming, we're going way down south, man. We're going to Nashville. It was early March or whatever. Like, that was way
so
south for them.
It.
Like, for us, we're like, can we go south? Like, let's go to Texas. Let's go to Florida. You know, like, but it's all relative, right?
Yeah.
And speaking of college sports, could see Mike Vrabel's face a little bit more on the college side of things. I saw a report earlier today that said Luke Fickell, who's the head coach at Wisconsin, who's good friends with Mike Vrabel. I want to say either Mike Vrabel was the best man in his wedding or he was the best man at Mike Vrabel's wedding. Either way, like besties, that Luke Fickell said that he wanted to have Mike Vrabel around in whatever capacity. You know, not going to be a defensive coordinator at Wisconsin, but have him around spring practice and just wants him around the team. So Mike Vrabel making his Big Ten return, not where we nor Joe Rexroad expected him to be.
No.
It'll be interesting. At least something to keep him occupied. I listened to Charles Robinson on Robbie and Rexroad this morning. He said, Mike wants to coach. And I believe it.
Yeah.
You know, you don't lose that itch ever.
But the opportunity just didn't, you know, for whatever reason. And we've heard the reasons, or at least allegedly what some of the reasons were. But, you know, when you're a coach, especially a young coach, you want to get back into coaching. Once you lose one job, you want to get back into another, or you want to be around it. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, how it goes in Wisconsin for him. And I know it won't be in a capacity of a coach with the name, but just being around the guys and telling them or explaining to them what to expect and whatnot. I'm surprised that, you know, he still hasn't gotten a D.C. job or something. I know there has been, you know, speculations. I think who's D.C.? Dallas. Or I think it was another team I was reading that, you know, he may be in the running for one of those jobs. But, you know, once a coach, especially when you're as young as Mike Vrabel, and has had the success that he has had, you want to get back right into coaching. You want to get back into, you know, teaching. And, you know, because the longer you're out of it, then you tend to be forgotten about, you know. But you want to stay in it. And it seems like, you know, even if he does go, you know, up to Wisconsin and just to help and just to observe, I think that's better than not doing anything at all.
And I think sometimes it can be a good thing. Like Cliff Kingsbury, for example, he just kind of disappeared for a couple of years. He spent a year as the quarterback's coach at USC. Mm-hmm. And now you look at the – first the Raiders wanted to hire him, mm-hmm. and then he said, wait, no, just kidding, never mind, I'm going to Washington. I think that was kind of the best thing for Cliff Kingsbury, mm-hmm. was just to disappear for a little bit, because yeah. the public perception of Cliff Kingsbury was not very good whenever he was fired in Arizona. I think it's kind of the opposite for mm-hmm. Mike Vrabel, that his public stock, at least in my perception, is incredibly high. So I don't think it's going to be too long before Mike Vrabel finds another head coaching job. But a little bit of breaking news mm-hmm. coming out from Ian Rappaport. Former Raiders interim offensive coordinator Bo Hardigree is expected to be hired as the new Titans quarterbacks coach under Brian Callahan. He was Las Vegas' interim OC in week 9. The Raiders averaged 23 points a game, ranking inside the top half of the league. An impressive improvement, yada, yada, yada. So Bo Hardigree, former Tennessee Volunteer, mm-hmm. played quarterback with the Vols in the early 2000s.
Oh, he's Vol fans. Here they come.
This is a great hire! He's kind of bounced around as quarterback's coach. He was in Miami for a stint, was with the Jets for a stint, was with the Patriots for a stint, and most recently with the Raiders. I'll be honest with you, I don't know much about Bo Hardigree.
I know nothing, you know, about coach. You know, obviously, as we continue to go, we will learn more about it. And I know us three, we will expedite it a little, reading some things in between breaks, trying to find out who he is as a coach. And then why did they choose him mm-hmm. instead of some of the other candidates that may have been out there. And I'm sure there's some type of relationship there.
Because he started early in his career with the mm-hmm. Broncos. I don't have...
2014, so that's around the same time.
Is that
time
Callahan's?
Yes.
Yeah,
okay.
So
that's what I was
wondering.
You know, so.
Cross paths with one another.
Offensive quality coordinator coach.
Okay. So, I mean.
Yeah, so they did cross paths in Denver. Mm-hmm. So that's where that relationship comes from. As it comes to offensive coaches, mm-hmm. I'm going to trust Brian Callahan.
Yeah.
That's his baby. He brings in his staff. But quarterback's coach, that's an incredibly important role. Will Levis is going to spend more time with the quarterback's coach than probably mm-hmm. any other member of the staff.
Oh, he will. He spends the most time with the quarterback's coach. And then at least from this standpoint, the offensive coordinator as well, because – you know, he won't have duties during the game of calling plays, but he will be tasked to help put together everything during the week. So quarterback's coach and the offensive coordinator will be tied closely to Will Levis and his performance, I believe.
All right, so we'll do a little bit more of a deep dive there of the Titans' new quarterback's coach. But we heard from Rand Carthon on the Titans' official podcast. So we heard Chad Brinker earlier this week giving kind of a peek behind the curtain of what his elevated role looks like, of what his involvement is with the team and the scouting process, how analytics are going to be applied to the Tennessee Titans. We also heard from Rand Carthon a couple of days ago. We weren't able to get into it yesterday, but I did want to get into it today. Just first of all, before we get into specific clips that stood out to us, just overall takeaways from what we heard from Titans general manager Rand Carthon on the official Titans podcast.
Well, I thought that it was a little different type of conversation, I think, mm-hmm. than it was with Chad Brinker, because I know a little bit more about Rand Carthon going into the discussion. I really didn't know anything mm-hmm. about Chad Brinker. I shouldn't say anything. I've read about it, but I've never really heard him talk in detail. I've heard Rand speak many times, mm-hmm. even though once again in there you did hear him in the interview say, maybe I should get out there mm-hmm. a little bit more. He goes, I'm not saying I've done everything right. He said it's something he's thought about, because he said it a couple of times now that maybe he does need to get out there, because I think one of his strengths is he is a people person, mm-hmm. right? He's a good communicator. And one of the things that they accentuated in this interview is his relationships and his ability to connect with a lot of people over time have come in handy for him here. And he said, you know, we struck early, and he, you know, it was really Mike Keith setting him up to talk about this. But, for example, the Denard Wilson hire. I always want to say Denard Walker, your former teammate, the cornerback,
yes.
right, for the Titans. Denard Wilson, I have to think to make that distinction in my mind before I say it. But he goes way back
yes.
with Denard Wilson. Denard Wilson was being courted and probably would have gotten a job with some team, and they felt like by striking early A and by B, him going so far back with him helped land him, and keep him away from other teams. We'll see if he ends up being the right guy, but I thought that was interesting. Like, it really seems to me like he has streamlined his focus on what his job is going to be as the GM.
Well, he gets to define that now.
He gets to define it, and he says, I'm a relationship guy. I'm a guy that wants to be talking to the coaches, pulling everybody together, making sure everybody is on the same page. And I think some of the other administrative stuff falls on Brinker, like as they've reshaped all this stuff. So I'm trying to get a sense in my mind how this is going to work after listening to both of those podcasts. I thought that was the most valuable thing that comes out of being able to hear both of those guys talk about what's ahead.
Yeah, because they're all on the same page in regards to what they envision this franchise looking like. When listening to Rand Carthon, nothing about that article changed my thought on who I believe he is as a person and what I think he can be or who I think he can be as a GM. He's a people's person. He's humbled but confident in what he does. He doesn't mind giving the credit to other people. He doesn't mind, telling you, hey, this is why I'm in the position. I have no problem with saying it was because of this guy or this guy. And when you see that constantly or you hear that constantly from someone, it makes you believe that, okay, this is who they are as a person and this is how they want to run said business. Mm-hmm. And to me, this is how Rand wants things to be ran. Transparency, honesty. There's a clear communication between everybody.
Yeah.
We're all in this together. Because there was one question, and I don't know who asked it. Maybe Coach Mac or Mike. It may have been Mike Keith that asked it about the players and how do you evaluate players in this. And he's like, no. And he's like, no. It's not me. It's the coach. I'm just getting players for the coach. It's not me going out and saying, this is the players we need. No, it's I'm talking to the coach. So by talking to the coach, I know what player I need to go get. It's not me getting the players and then telling the coach, hey, you got to work with them. No, it's me talking extensively with the coaching staff and then us going out and getting those players that the coaches want. Mm-hmm. So to me, that shows a willingness to work with someone and a willingness to not care who gets the credit. Obviously, if this team does well, the GM's going to get the credit. The head coach is going to get the credit. Those are two of the guys that are going to get the credit, majority of the credit. And then obviously the quarterback, it follows, sort of in that suit. But if you ask him, he doesn't care. It's like, listen, I just want to build a team that can go out there and win football games. I don't care who gets the credit because ultimately, if we do well on the field, all of us are going to do well. Mm-hmm. And all of us are going to get, he didn't say it, but you think if everybody does well, then everybody eventually gets promoted to some other area, whether it be on that team or somebody else's team.
Everybody gets the credit.
Exactly.
I think that you look at the Kansas City Chiefs. Mm-hmm. Look at the Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay tree. Everybody mm-hmm. wants a piece of that because exactly. That's what's winning. That's what's working. And there have been so many assistants in the Shanahan McVay tree that have gotten jobs. Mm-hmm. Hello, Brian Callahan being one of them mm-hmm. just simply because of their association. Everybody gets the credit whenever things are going well. It's when you're losing. That's mm-hmm. what's tough. Yes. And one thing that really stood out to me in that podcast with Rand Carthon is there's a lot of newness, and there should be. Mm-hmm. It's a new head coach. It's a new power structure. And Rand Carthon talked about how they're going to be doing things differently, how there's going to be a reset. And I don't think that necessarily only means a reset with the roster, a reset with the on-the-field play, but it's a big reset with what's going on within the front office, of a reset of how they approach scouting, a reset of how they evaluate players. And this is Rand's show. It should be different. It should be new because you've got a new person that's ultimately calling the shots. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't necessarily mean that it's the right way of doing things. We'll see. Yeah. I mean, time will tell what's the right way of doing things, what's the right system. But it's at least new. And now it's Rand Carthon being able to run with it. And I've said from the beginning, I like that structure. Whether it's Rand, whether it's Amy, whether it's Brian Callahan, whoever is calling the final shots, I like that somebody does have that final say. And there was one thing that Rand Carthon was asked that I'm a little bit skeptical of. But I want to dig that down here. This was Rand Carthon when he was asked about the systemic approach of how they're approaching this offseason.
All the stuff that you've been doing since you've been hired, and as you said, it's been exhilarating, but it's also been exhausting. But just from the outside looking in, it looks like you've got a systematic approach that's working pretty well. Is that a pretty good concept that I'm seeing?
Of course. And I mean, Mac, you've known me longer than everybody here, and you know, you've been a part of, you know, showing me the way and how to do things. And so, you know, this has always been the way I've gone about my business. You know, I know there are some that want to hear from me more, and I probably should do that. I'm not saying that the way I did everything was right. But at the same time, I have a job to do, you know, and that's what I'm going to ultimately be judged on, is about the players that we bring in here and the wins and losses in the stadium. And if we're not winning games, I'd gladly take the criticism, you know. But at the same time, I have a job to do, and that's what I'm always focused on.
Again, that was Rand Carthon on the Official Titans podcast. Now, the question there, and I'm not picking on Coach Mack for the question in the slightest. He said, you know, you're bringing in this systematic approach that seems to be working really well. How can you say that? How can you say that it's working really well? I hope that it's working well, but it's brand new. It hasn't been tested. You know, I think Rand Carthon and Brian Callahan have agreed of how they want to move forward with the coaching interviews. Yeah, great. But you haven't drafted. You haven't gone through free agency. You haven't won or lost games yet. You haven't built a team that can win. You haven't learned from some of the losses. How can you say that it's a systemic approach that's working?
Well, because I don't even know what effect the, shall we call them, the incumbents, right? Mike Vrabel and his circle that had been established in there. We really don't know. We haven't had any lengthy discussion from Rand or anybody else on, you know, what were the challenges with that, especially when you had adversity hit? Because it's clear that, you know, that had to be, I mean, they fired the coach, right? So we know it was broken, right? And stuff didn't go well. So, yeah, I don't know that that's really the question. What I got out of that, though, it seems like Dave McGinnis, who is a, you know, he's their radio analyst, but he goes way back as a coach, trusted assistant for the Titans for a long time, assistant head coach, I think, for a while, and a head coach in the league at one point. It does sound like he and Rand have built a, That sounded like a conversation between two guys that have talked a lot off the air, you know, have gotten to know each other. And Dave McGinnis would seem like a good logical sounding board, right, for a new guy saying, you know, sometimes you need a guy to just vent to.
Yeah.
Right, away from everybody, right? And sometimes the radio guy can be that guy. I've experienced that for sure. Because you're kind of out from the group, but you're watching everything from a different angle. So sometimes that ends up being a really interesting person to just be a sounding board, just to listen, right? Yeah. You're not really offering advice. He's not asking for your advice necessarily, although Dave McGinnis, I'm sure, could offer a lot of advice from his perspective there. I really was – the one thing I didn't hear from this interview that I would have liked to is a little more shedding light on how the interaction with Brinker is going to be, because you now have these two new titles, right? And you can – this is another thing I've learned over the years – you can put a title on anybody, right? You can name me the executive, consultant, whatever. Mm-hmm. It doesn't really matter until we really get in there day to day and it works, right? So now Rand is the executive vice president and general manager, right? Mm-hmm. And Brinker is a president of football operations, right?
Right.
So it's a little unclear from the title. It could mean a lot of different things.
By title, it looks like Chad Brinker is above Rand Carthon.
Yes. You could, just by reading that and not knowing anything about either person, and just, you didn't know anything about football, right? You just look at these pieces of paper that just have the title and say, oh, this guy. But we know that Rand Carthon has the final say in roster decisions, right? That's been made clear by Amy Adams. So I just would have loved to have heard a little bit more of how that is going to work back and forth, because it does seem like they both have a lot of mutual respect for one another, and they have a good idea of what this is going to look like. But the title, it's hard to know until you implement it. And it goes back to what you're kind of saying is, this is a new thing. Like, it's now being put into place. I'm not even sure that last year has a whole lot of relevance, because this is new, the way they put this together.
Because that's what Rand said. Look, there's a lot of changes. We're going to change how we do things around here. And I think newness is exciting, especially for fans. Newness is exciting. And now they're talking about bringing in analytics. I know a lot of fans are really excited about that. How Rand has final say, what Chad Brinker is doing, bringing in Brian Callahan. Newness is always fun. And it's really easy on February 8th to get really excited about what can be. But just remember, it hasn't been tested yet. Just remember, we don't know if this is the right process. And I'm not saying it's the wrong one. I'm just not going to let myself get too excited about the changes, about the new structure, until we really truly see it tested. And until we see, hey, is there improvement? Does this look like there is, this approach is the better approach? But D-Mace, there was another thing that stood out to you listening to Rand Carthon, and it kind of ties into what Willie's saying about the relationship between Rand and Chad Brinker. We know, based on title, Chad Brinker's going to be doing operations. What exactly does that mean? How does that tie into what Rand does? They both report directly to Amy Adams Strunk. What does that look like? And what does the analytics side of that look like? How does the marriage of analytics and football, what does that really look like? We'll get into that coming up next. What Rand Carthon had to say about that and his approach with analytics while scouting. We'll get into that coming up next. And, of course, into your phones as well. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll take your calls. We'll take your texts. Caroline, Willie, and D. Mace, we are brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, we are broadcasting live from the Spring Hill Heating and Cooling Game Nashville Studios, keeping your home feeling comfortable all year round. We will chat with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, at the top of the hour. Also, Jared will kick his show off today right at 2 p.m. with Will Levis. He sat down with Will Levis last night, so we'll hear that right at 2 p.m. That is something that I promise you, you will not want to miss. We're breaking down Rand Carthon's appearance on the Official Titans podcast, and one thing that really stood out to me when Coach Mack, and I am not picking on Coach Mack in the slightest, don't get it twisted, but he asked Rand about, hey, this systemic approach that you've been bringing to the Titans seems to be successful, and Rand gets into that a little bit further, but my caution to Titans fans is, let's not quite call it successful yet. Let's earn the success of it before we label it successful, before you play games,
it's incomplete, right?
We don't know.
It's blank. It's a blank canvas.
It's a complete question mark. And maybe right now they feel like they've got a system brewing and a system in place that they think is going to be really successful. I also think they thought that last year's approach was going to be successful.
Every team has hope when they're in the offseason.
Everybody can win the Super Bowl on February 14th. Happy Valentine's Day. And there was another thing that stood out to you, D-Mace. And it ties into Willie's question about the connection between Chad Brinker and Rand Carthon. You know, we can read the job duties on a piece of paper. We can see the job titles. But, like, what does that really mean? What does that look like on a day-to-day basis? And I think the biggest thing here is Chad Brinker with the operations side, the analytics side, Rand Carthon, the scouting side, the football side. How do those two pair together? What is the numbers and football marriage look like? Rand Carthon shed a little bit of light on that. This was Rand Carthon on the Official Titans podcast.
At the Senior Bowl last week, we had the opportunity. Chad Brinker sat down with us, you know, for quite a while, and it was eye-opening to all of us about what he is bringing. And we got into the analytics part of it, and the profile part of it starts coming into that analytics part of it. Can you speak to that a little bit? Because we were extremely impressed just with the time. And we spent quite a bit of time with him, and I know that's going to be something that's going to evolve here.
Oh, absolutely. And what that does is it gives us another component of scouting, right? Because, I mean, obviously, you know, we're all, you know, I would say, quote unquote, old school football guys, if you will, and we trust our eye and what we see on the tape. But then it gives us moments where you're deep into training camp, and every team is at 90 men, and you can do the math on how many people that is playing professional football. And let's be honest, God only made so many, you know, good football players, right? But it'll give us a unique situation to be able to use the data to help, you know, hey, here are our key three things that we're looking for in a player that has to fit for us, and then being able to use the data to just quickly input that, and then it'll spit us out of a list of every position. And hey, if we get strapped at a place, we know that these three guys are immediate profile fits for us, and it doesn't have, we don't have to sit there and just pour through so much of the film, because A, the film has already been watched and we have a grade on them, but then we'll be able to use the data to help drive the decision to get them in here.
D-Maze, that was one clip in particular that you said, this one, listen to this one. I want to talk about this. What stood out to you about
that? Yeah, because we were, you know, when we got a chance to listen to Brinker and then, you know, subsequently had an opportunity to discuss it, we were trying to figure out, you know, ultimately, yeah, you know, this analytic thing is the way it seems like everybody's starting to go now. But how do you marry the analytics with the eye test, the old school, and not necessarily even the old school. I think just the you know, brick and mortars of scouting. How do you marry that with this new innovative way, plugging in a computer, and here we go, the Jetsons type of you know, remedy in a sense. How do you marry those two together? Well, Rand is sort of telling you, like, we're still going to do the brick and mortar. We're still going to do the groundwork in regards to eye tests, watching guys, getting to know guys, putting guys in front of them. But when we're in a position, say, in the middle of the season, and we don't have time to be watching all of this tape over again, well, we've already set up this template with analytics where we have these criteria of players that we want that may fit in this system that we have. We put their name in a database, however they sort of, you know, match it all up. And then we type it in the computer and it spits it out. I know it sounds like the Jetsons, you know, and it probably is.
But it saves you time.
But it saves you a lot of time. So now we go from, you know, it being 30 players to all of a sudden, because it happens so quickly. A guy goes down in practice, you're in the middle of the week, and it's like, oh my goodness, we got to be able to, you know, okay, pick a guy and go if we don't have him already on our roster. Well, what do? We go to the analytics, and which guys best fit the philosophy that we have as an offense or a defense and overall as a team? Well, we use our analytics, and here are the guys. So I think that's one of the ways, and it seems like that's going to be an important thing to have, especially during the season, where we don't have to go and watch, you know, 15, 20 hours of tape. We've already done that. Now we can go into our analytics and say, what guy fits what we want to do at this particular position? Okay, here's three or four guys. All right, now out of the three or four guys, who, now we can talk about them. Now it takes it from, you know, being an hour to, and I'm just throwing an hour out there as an arbitrary number, it goes from an hour to 15 minutes. Because now we got the guys, because we would have wasted 45 minutes looking at this guy on film. Well, we've already seen it. Now we put it in the data system and it spits out four or five names. Now let's discuss the four or five guys that we want on our team. It saves, it's more efficient to them, I believe. And it saves a lot of time, because in everything that you do, and I think most importantly, football, time is money. And it, when you need a guy like that, he even talked about the coaching. You know, when Vrabel got fired, they had to be on it right then and there. You know, you ain't got time to be sitting back and twiddling your thumbs like, oh, what about this guy? What about this? Oh, no, we got to know who we want and go after that guy and get him in here, whether it be a player or a coach. So I think that's how they're going to be able to use both analytics and a brick and mortar of just going out and scouting. They're going to marry those two, and hopefully it works. We don't know. It may have worked for other teams, and, you know, maybe San Fran used the same model and it's worked for San Fran. Maybe Cincinnati may use it and it works for them. Kansas City may use it. So if it's working, then it's great. But if it's not working, then it's like, okay, what do we do now?
You know, it goes in line with something we discussed 2 days ago, too, with something that Brinker was talking about when he was saying it's going to take us 3 years to implement all of this stuff that we want to do, this database that Rand just referred to there, because you got to have the right software, you've got to put all the data in, and I'm not a computer guy, I don't know how long it takes, but what was implied in there was they didn't have any of this stuff under the kind of the old school.
Yeah.
Or whatever they had was not nearly what he thinks they need.
Which and I like, think I'll was give a surprise.
You, right, because the Titans were sort of proudly old school. Mm-hmm. They did not really go into this whole modern way of doing it. And analytics is again a broad term, but some of it to me is just like being on the cutting edge of how quick you can do it. I'll give you an example. Like when I was playing at Vanderbilt in basketball, our coaches were unbelievable at preparing for the next opponent and breaking down everything that we did, analyzing, and they would grade the film. That would take them all night. We would play a game, they would look at the tape all night, grade the film, but it was all VHS, mm-hmm. right? And it took forever to edit the tape. Like the scouting report of the next opponent, it took a long time. Those guys, I felt for them. Now it's so much easier with the editing on a computer that you can do now. Players themselves can now. I watch the Predators. They can watch every shift that they played mm-hmm. Right after the game's over. They get handed an iPad. Here are your shifts from tonight. You could be sitting on the bench after a play just happened, and you can go back and look at the play mm-hmm. and say, wow, man, I wish I'd have done that or something. Some coaches don't like that you do that right then and there. Like, hey, look at that great play. I made this behind-the-back pass.
That's not what it's for.
No. We're not doing that. Like, if you're going to use this, let's get something out of it.
Exactly. The offensive right. coordinator's pointing at the iPad like, you idiot.
So people are always trying to figure out, how do we save time? How do we get more efficiency when we evaluate? I'm sure that's part of what they're talking about there. But it sounds like the Titans were behind there. I'm just making that assumption based on what they're saying.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought up the three-year thing. Because my thing was, it doesn't necessarily mean 3 years for the team, but it means 3 years for us to marry the analytics with the scouting, and so we can all use it in unison. You know, the first time I got introduced to analytics, it was called statistics and analytics. It was my senior year in high school. I'm like, what in the hell is this? Like, I don't want to take this. It's like, because you're used to the geometry and all this other stuff. It's like, what is this? So, and it took, and I'm sure, but luckily for me, you know, I got it. Well, I guess not luckily, but I wish I had gotten it like my sophomore year. And then I would have been able to sort of build on it and learn from it my sophomore, junior, and senior year. But I jumped right into it my senior year and was like, man, what am I? And we only had it a semester. At least I did.
I'm with you, D-Mace. Dropped it immediately.
Exactly. So, because it's like, and so when Brinkert says it's going to take 3 years, I look at it from the standpoint of me being a student. Like, when I first saw it, I'm like, I do not know what this stuff like. This is foreign to me. And I knew I wasn't going to learn even a fraction of it in a semester. I would have needed 6 semesters to sort of get what I needed to get and really understand what analytics and statistics and all that other stuff, how to marry together. And I think that's what Brinker means. He doesn't mean that the team, you're going to have to wait necessarily for 3 years for the team to have success, but it's 3 years for us to marry that with the scouting so you can sort of see some tangible things. We'll see it a little bit here and there, but to see the big picture, it's going to take some time here.
Can I ask a question that's perhaps exposing me a little bit?
What's that?
We use the word analytics all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, what the hell is that? You say we use analytics to help us save time mm-hmm. and to help us in evaluating.
I guess it's just a much more
analyzing
efficient
numerical values that benefit.
What is any of that? Like what numerical values? Like what are we using? What data, what numbers are we crunching and putting into
in
a computer
a
and spitting out to say that's the right player?
The slang term is in hockey, they call it fancy stats, uh-huh. right? You have your basic stats. Like I equate it to like when we were growing up, we had baseball cards, right? On the back of the baseball card, it was at bats, runs, hits, RBIs, home runs, batting average.
Yeah, stats.
Those are the basic stats, right? Mm-hmm. But analytics is trying to
go deeper
into what's happening and see if they can give you a clearer picture, illuminate
more. I know what analytics
what's happening
are. Like, I know in theory, like, okay, you're talking analytics. I know what you're referencing. But what, like,
how do you plug
for example, we're going to use analytics to help us with injury evaluation. Mm-hmm. Great. Okay,
sports science.
Yeah. What?
Yeah, that's sports science.
Like when they run a 40, do you have all these like suction cups onto their body?
Yeah,
You do, essentially, that's what it is. Well, no,
and I don't know if that should be under analytics. Like, that's more sports science, but it's also like it's evolution, right? You hear this stuff.
It's
like
a lot of words.
They really do think, Chad Brinker really thinks that they can cut down on the injuries. They have been the most injured team, and it was not happenstance that Amy Adams Strunk put that on the list of we have been the most injured team for three straight years. So clearly, Brinker has gone to her somewhere. Somebody's gone to her, and probably Brinker, probably Rand Carthon, and said, I think we can, if we go to the next step with this stuff, if we evolve with the sports science and stuff, we can cut down on that number.
To what extent can you do that? Because analytics aren't going to tell you if a guy tears his ACL. Yeah. You know, like the things just happen. But let's say Julio Jones, he had a torn hamstring every year for the past 4 or 5 years or whatever it was. Well, I could tell you that. I can tell you that he's going to tear his hamstring again. I don't need analytics.
But how do you eat, how much you sleep, all these things, right?
That is what I'm wondering is what goes into this data set to tell you that's an injury risk, that's not an injury risk, that's a guy that's going to work, that's a guy that's not.
And sort of that's the, you know, billion-dollar question, because this is a billion-dollar business. When they start at analytics, that means whatever that is, they felt that it was a need, that it was going to be a plus for the NFL and each individual team. Now, I do understand from your standpoint of, okay, how do they get to whatever that number or that baseline is? How do they, like, because for concussion, we know how they have a baseline concussion because you take a test prior to the season, you know, so they got a baseline of who you are and how you think and how fast you answer questions. So when you do have a concussion, they can go back to that baseline test and say, well, you need to not play for a little while because your baseline, I mean, your numbers are totally off because it's not like it was before.
Right.
Okay, I can understand. That's better. I can better understand that because I took a test. What test am I taking analytic wise that is going to tell you that, well, if I do this, I won't be as injured? You know, what analytics are you plugging into that to say, well, if you eat this, you eat that. Well, what do I need to eat? How much do I need to be resting? How do you come to that arbitrary number or that baseline? Because everybody's different. Are you taking these guys at the beginning of the season and you sort of, you know, monitoring them and their sleep habits, telling them to wear certain things so you can get a baseline of what causes them to be injured? Like, okay, you only got, just to say a number, you only got 15 hours of sleep this week. Well, and then you end up getting injured. Another guy got 30 hours of sleep, but he's going. He has a lot of energy. He's going. He's not in it. So are you taking those numbers of my sleep and putting it into the analytic number and saying, you know, this is why maybe you need to get some more sleep. And
are you going to ask every guy in the draft how much they sleep a week?
And that's the, like, I don't know how they get to that. Now. I don't either. I don't know how they get to that baseline
in regards to analytics. What I'm curious about, and I understand when you use analytics, should we go for it on 4th and 3 or not? Should we go for 2 or not? I understand that you have all these years and every single down and every single game that you can put into a computer and the computer tells you, okay, here's the risk. Here's what you should do. Here's what you shouldn't do, because the data points that you're putting into this analysis, it's all what has been played on the field. It's whatever, you know, whatever factor that you can put
in
there, you
do. It's not individual based. That is not individual based.
When you're using it for evaluation, exactly. When you're using it to evaluate players, when you're using it for individual by individual, especially coming out of college, when everything is so different, you're playing in different conferences, you have different schedules, you may have played different number of games, different positions.
How do you come up
with that?
But that's the game. That's the game that everybody is playing, is trying to come up with how do we miss less, right? How do we have the right information that we're looking for that will try to separate a guy who plays for, like, Jay Cutler, who plays for a weak SEC team that he's trying to elevate, versus Matt Leinart, who's got a loaded NFL roster of USC guys around him.
Yeah.
How do we compare the two? These have always been the questions. That's what the analytics are trying to do, is try to get you a clearer answer, even though there's
never
a perfect
answer. Yeah, you
right?
can analyze
but it's
yourself
also,
to death.
And then the next level, which is such a big part of it, is I'm paying player X $5 million. can I get, if he leaves for free agency, can I get the same guy for $5 million or the next guy for the same price rather than pay that same guy $8 million to stay?
Yeah.
Or, hey, I'm paying this guy $5 million. I'll let him go. I can get something better for $2 million. Mm-hmm. That's where that's the money ball. That's the A's, right? The A's were finding guys that were super cheap that were better because they analyzed all the numbers mm-hmm. and they said, this guy's actually more effective. And we don't have that much money anyway, so we need to take the cheap guy. But this cheap guy actually is better mm-hmm. than the guy we're letting go who's getting paid by the Yankees $30 million a year, or, you know, whatever the number is, right? We're getting that for a fraction. But that's how it works. That's what you're trying to get to.
Use the word analytics all day long.
Yeah.
Like,
it applies to a lot of different things.
What is that? What is that? What is analytics? We'll get into your thoughts.
Just wait till
on
you try
this.
To get the hockey ones with zone entries and things like that. Offense driving plays. It's like, it'll boggle your mind. Like, nobody gets it all.
I'm not built for this. Not built for this. All right, let's get into your thoughts on this coming up next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, will join us at the top of the hour. Will Levis right at 2 p.m. on Stillman & Company. Caroline Willie D. Mace, 1025-1063 The Game. Tune in to 93.3 Classic Hits tonight as MTSU basketball takes on Liberty on the road. Pregame at 5:30 p.m., tip-off at 6, with coverage also available on 93.3 Classic Hits app and at 93.3classichits.com. Talking Ryan Carthon on the official Titans podcast, and he mentions kind of the marriage between analytics and football. And look, I'm going to expose myself a little bit here. I understand the definition of analytics. I understand what they are. But we're talking a lot about analytics without actually talking about what the heck that even means. What the heck analytics even are.
I'm sure a lot of fans in a given broadcast, I think about this a lot as the Predators announcer, mm-hmm. especially with the game moving as fast as mm-hmm. hockey, where it's continuous. There's not a lot of, it's not like baseball or football where, like, you have a play, mm-hmm. the play stops, and you can talk for a little bit. Hockey, you don't have that. So
right.
you get a lot of people that are like, you guys need to introduce more analytics in your broadcast. We have this whole faction of fans that really see where the game is moving. They know mm-hmm. it's important. They want to hear more about it. But in hockey, you just don't have that much time to do it. And you've yep. got this other faction of fans, like, you're going, like, what are they talking about? Expected goals.
And I'm not anti-analytic in the slightest, you know? But if this is going to be now more of a part of how you draft, how you evaluate,
sure.
how you scout, how you game plan, I want to know what goes into
but
that.
But let's make it clear. The Titans are behind the times in
yeah.
this.
And they
the whole
to.
Rest
oh,
of
totally.
The sports world, I don't care what sport you're talking about. Think about soccer. Think about Nashville SC. They're always looking for players, too. Mm-hmm. They're not just scouting the college football players.
Yeah.
They're scouting the entire earth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, if there's a player yes. in Africa, you're comparing that guy mm-hmm. to a guy in Italy, uh-huh. to a guy in Australia. Like, soccer is played around the world.
Yeah.
And if there's a guy that can help Nashville SC at the level they're playing at, mm-hmm. they're going to go try to find that guy. But you talk about you need some pretty good evaluation tools for that.
Seriously.
Analytics have become a huge part of soccer.
I think you have to be able to sort of balance the both. You know, if you're asking me, because I don't know a lot about analytics, so I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, I'm just straight analytics and this. No, I'm not, because I don't know enough about it. But what I do know is my eyes, and I know if I look at a player long enough, I can tell you whether, yeah, he's a player, nah, he's not.
Yeah.
Maybe
and that's still a pretty
exactly.
damn important aspect of
absolutely,
all of this.
But just because I don't know, doesn't mean I'm not willing to listen to it and understand it.
Yeah.
You know, that's with anything with me when it comes to me. It's like, you may have a different opinion. I'm not going to sit here and, you know, berate your opinion. I want to understand why you have that opinion,
exactly.
you know, in a sense.
And that's where I'm at here. I'm yeah. not against it. Just tell me more about it. Want to get into your thoughts on this. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Kenny the mailman is on the line with a thought. What's up, Kenny?
Hello, good friends. How are y'all?
Doing great, Kenny.
Excellent. I think Willie is the only person there older enough to remember this. You know, you hear the word analytics, you think new, fresh, exciting, new invention. This goes way back so far. Willie, do you remember Earl Weaver?
Absolutely.
The old baseball manager. He was the first guy. He made charts and graphs of all his players. He platooned. He used bench players that no other manager would use in specific instances where they matched up exactly like he wanted. But also in his autobiography, Willie, he said, "I never blankety blank pitch hit for Frank Robinson."
Yeah,
which tells you you don't use this on your stars. This is a tool. This is information that can help. And I think it's always great to have the most information you can. But it seems like some of these teams are putting Poindexter in the upper deck, and they're buzzing coaches and telling them what to do. And it's like, I like the information, but it can't go that far. You take all the information you can use to your advantage, but some people get so wrapped up in their theory, they can't see, you know, the forest for the trees.
It's a good point.
Thank
you.
Great point, Kenny. Appreciate
it. It does continue to evolve. Yeah. It's funny, Poindexter, that's a Revenge of the Nerds reference. Funny movie that you probably couldn't do today.
Yeah. What you
Revenge
did.
Of the Nerds. You probably couldn't make that movie today.
That's why it's on a streaming service.
Yeah. I mean, you can do it, but man, you may get some pushback.
But you need the people that really do have the deep understanding of the math, which I don't, right? But you need that person to, as we've talked about, communicate. That's what the beauty of Chad Brinker is. I think he's got a graduate degree on the business part of it, the math part of it. But he was also a player that was coached in the eye test part. So that's a good blend, right? Well, so now he can speak both languages. Mm-hmm. You find people that the coaching staff respects it. Like if you bring Poindexter from the movie. Yeah. If he's coming down there telling Mike Vrabel, this is what you need to do, that's what you need to do. Is that coach going to listen to Poindexter? No, he's not going to. But if you bring somebody in between that's like a Chad Brinker that's got the background of both, and you put it in terms that the coach can understand, the coach might say, okay, I'm coming around to this. That makes sense.
Well, I mean, I think Chad said as much, you know, when he did the OTP podcast. He's sort of just the liaison because they hired to come on
from the Rams.
Yeah, to be their analytic, you know, sort of person. Uh-huh. And then it's Chad Brinker. And then how do we disseminate her information? Because like you said, Willie, if she walks in there and start talking to these coaches, they're like, whoa, pump your brakes. She lost me the second word you said, so pump your brakes. Well, she tells Chad, Chad's bringing in, he brings it in the form to Rand and the coaches, That everybody can understand. Not that, you know, these men are not highly intelligent, because they are. But just because you're highly intelligent doesn't mean you know everything.
Yeah.
You know, so I need to have that liaison to be able to talk to her. Okay, I get it. How do I then disseminate it to the coaches and the GM so they can understand? Because if you walk through the door, after about 5 minutes, you're going to lose them.
Yeah, eyes start to get a little bit glossy. Lose.
They're going to get tired very quickly.
All right, coming up next, we'll catch up with ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck. We'll kind of get a vibe of what's going down on Radio Row, the conversation surrounding the Tennessee Titans. And, of course, we'll hit on the Super Bowl with Tim as well. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace. Tune in to Robbie and Rex Road tomorrow morning from 6 to 9 a.m. on 102.5 The Game for details on how you can win tickets to see Kenny Chesney and Zach Brown Band at Nissan Stadium on August 3rd.